Now we hope you'll warm up a little bit. Those girls went upward. And I want to talk about somebody that went the other way, downward. They went up to glory. But other people that die in their sins go down into a place of torment and shame and regrets. And in the Gospel of Luke, there are five rich men. And that's what everybody's looking for in life. They're looking for all they can get. And in Luke chapter 18, we read about, I just want to talk briefly about three of these rich men, but mostly about the last one. In chapter 18 of the book of Luke, in verse number 18, we read about one rich man. Now, he was very young. So here's a young rich man. And we read in verse 18, a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." He seemed to be a young fellow just growing up long. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And he went away lost. Now here was a young man that was morally good. Kept the law, at least the moral aspect of the law. He was a good living fellow, but he was lost. He went away sorrowful. So much so that the disciples said in verse number 26, when they heard that, they said, "Who then can be saved?" So there was a young man, traded his salvation for what he could get out of life. Some trade it for riches, many people. Some people just trade it for pleasure, for sin, for some other thing. Now, I want to read about another rich man in chapter 12, just briefly. And I'm not saying it's the same rich man, but it could very well be. This rich man had lived for a while, and he had accumulated a lot of riches. And in verse number 16, he spake a parable saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit in my garden?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee.'" He died that night. "Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Here's a rich man, maybe the same rich man that the Lord had in mind. But here's a rich man at the end of his life. Think he had many years to live when he had none. That very night, he went out into eternity. God said he was a fool. Now that is a fool, isn't it, when you stop to think of it. When you think that you're only one step. I was talking to some young people today, and I said, "You remember Corey Nickerson?" I think you'll remember Corey Nickerson. He was Alan's boy. I don't know, he's about 18 years old. I was away. Corey got in a truck. He drove down the road. He got down around the corners there by this where used to be a store, just up above the hall. He lost control of the truck, upset in the ditch, killed himself. Just as quick as that. David says it's even quicker than that. There's just one step, he said, between me and death. And to think, if you're saved, that's wonderful. One step will put you in the glory. But that one step for an unsaved will put him into hell. If you were leaving this, if you were leaving an airport in Halifax, and I said, where are you going? You told me you didn't know. I'd say, I'd have to say, like Jesus said about this man, there's something a little silly wrong about you. Here you are getting on a plane, and you're going on a journey, and you don't know where you're going. And yet you're on another journey, and you're going to eternity. You can't avoid going to eternity. You likely won't die tonight, but somewhere along the road, you're coming to the end of this life. And the minute you take your last breath, your soul leaves your body, and if you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're lost, you're going to hell. There's no in between. And we just stop to think of the issues. They're most, most important. The most important thing in life is where you're going to be in eternity. You're not going to spend it. Sometimes we sing, where will you spend eternity? You can't spend eternity. There's no end. If you spend something, you've got to use it all up. You can't use up eternity. Somebody has said if a bird took a grain of sand off the shores of Nova Scotia and took it down to Florida, took all the sand there was down to Florida, and then turned around and took all that sand, a grain at a time, back to Nova Scotia again, says, that would be nothing compared to eternity. How long would it take one bird to do all that? I don't think they'd ever get it done. They'd most certainly die before they got the last grain of sand, I'm sure. Eternity, eternity. We can't imagine that. No end, eternity. Now let me tell you something. Heaven is a place that God has prepared for His people. And He not only has prepared a place for His people, but He's prepared the people for that place. Because we don't prepare ourselves. We're not fit to go to heaven. It's only because of what the Lord Jesus has done for me and for Christians, only what He's done for us, God has prepared us to go to heaven, and heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And we read about that in John chapter 14 and verse 2 and 3, that I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and get you to be with myself. So we read about heaven being a prepared place, and a people that's prepared for that place. And we read about hell prepared for the devil and his angels. God never prepared hell for any human being, not a person. He doesn't prepare the person for hell, and He doesn't prepare the hell for person, for that person. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, it says, hell was prepared for the devil and for his angels. There's no redemption for them. But God never prepared hell for sinners, and he never prepares sinners for hell. They prepare themselves. But He does prepare heaven for those that are saved, and He prepares the people to go there. That tells us that God doesn't want anybody to be lost. Back in the Proverbs it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. They're going home. Paul said, to depart and be with Christ was far better. And he says, more profitable for me to stay here and still ministering, but it's far better. And God's always delighted to see His people, when they die, to go to be with the Lord. But on the other hand, in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, it says that God says, as I live, saith the Lord, that's like swearing by Himself, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. But God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God just takes no pleasure in sin, but justice. His holiness can't do anything to a sinner that will not trust Him and trust His Son. His holiness can't do anything else, and God sends people, permits people to go to hell because He can't do anything about it. And He said, well, I'll take pity on you, and even though you don't trust my Son, I'll still take. God wouldn't be just in doing that. He wouldn't be holy in doing that. He wouldn't be right in doing that. Telling a young lady today, if you broke the laws of our land and they took you into court, she figured God was going to forgive her of all her sins. automatically. I say, if you broke the laws of our land and they took you into court and tried you with a judge and a jury and you were found guilty, and you said, well, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, please forgive me. Do you think the judge would forgive you? And she said, no, I don't think he would. I said, what makes you think God, who is absolutely holy, the judges of our courts are crooked. They'll let people away with murder sometimes. But the God of all earth, he makes no mistakes. He knows every, I told that girl, I said, he knows every thought, evil thought you've ever thought. He knows every sinful thing you've ever done. He knows it all. And you're going to stand before him and think God's going to just overlook all of that and take you into heaven? That's not the judge. That's not a just judge. That's not a holy judge. God would violate his own character to do that. But I went on to tell her that God had made a way where he could be just and yet save her. He could be just. And it's because I had some flyers in my hand, and I took the flyers and I said, these are like your sins. And the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I took those and I put them over here, and I said, that's like the Lord laying all of our sins on the Savior. And he poured out his judgment on my sins and your sins when they were on Christ. That doesn't automatically save anybody. But it does make a provision for sinners to come to that Savior. And I told you, gave her the verse, in the Acts chapter number 10 and verse 43, to him, to Christ, give all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth in him would receive remission. That's removal of sin. Not just forgiveness. Those sins are taken away completely. And I said, if you died, you're ready for heaven. And that's true. God hasn't prepared hell for sinners. They'll go there. And he'll be the one that'll have to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But he'll take no delight in that. He takes no delight in the death of the wicked. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Now just very briefly, I want to look at that third rich man in Luke chapter 17. The first one was a rich man that was getting a little bit richer. The next one seemed to be a man, an older man, that was rich, but thought he had more riches, and he was going to live for many more years, and he died that night. The next one we read is in chapter 16 of the book of Luke, in verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died. Look what happened to this man when he died. We know what happened to his body. It doesn't say anything about his body. He was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. That was pallbearers. He had angelic pallbearers. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And when a saint dies, when this person dies, when a saint dies, angels, according to that verse, conducts them right into the presence of God. But the rich man also died and was buried. And listen, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Little wonder God takes no delight in the wicked, the death of the wicked. He never made hell for the wicked, and he never made the wicked for hell. Sinners will go to hell, and it won't be God's fault. They'll either stumble over the cross of Christ to get there, or they will refuse to listen to any missionaries that might go to them to tell them about the Lord. They'll refuse to listen, like many people throughout the public holes in the Argyles. Refuse to listen. They refuse to listen. They can talk to them. And they've got their good works, they've got their hope of heaven, they're good enough to make it there, and so on and so on. They're going to make it there for sure. We were talking to another lady today, and she was sure she was going to heaven because she was a good person. sad. They're going to wake up someday. They live and die hoping in their own goodness. They get to heaven. They're going to live and die, and they're going to lift up their eyes and know. And it says, being in torments. Any missionaries that might go to them to tell them about the Lord, they'll refuse to listen, like many people throughout the public schools and the Argyles. Refuse to listen. They refuse to listen. They could talk to them. And they've got their good works, they've got their hope of heaven, they're good enough to make it there, and so on and so on. They're going to make it there for sure. We were talking to another lady today, and she was sure she was going to heaven because she was a good person. Sad. They're going to wake up someday. They live and die hoping in their own goodness. They get to heaven. They're going to live and die, and they're going to lift up their eyes and know. And it says, being in torments. The Bible says it's a fearful thing, a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. Terrible. To stand before the great white throne and the holiness of God, the purity of God. And God knows everything about you, things that you've forgotten a long time ago, things that you never wouldn't even remember you ever did. God knows every bit about you. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your own heart. And you're going to stand there before God. Have no plea. No going to say, I'm not guilty, Lord. You'll have no plea. You'll be speechless standing there. This man died. Lazarus died, and he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom, into a place of comfort, a place of bliss. The rich man died, lifted up his eyes in hell. He cried for mercy, but there was no mercy to have. There was no mercy in hell. There's mercy now. Ephesians 2 and 5 says, God who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us, as we were hearing in John 3:16. God has plenty of mercy for sinners now. Sinners that will repent, sinners that will come to him. God has pity, God has compassion, he has plenty of mercy for them. But the minute you leave this world, you're going away from the mercy of God. There's no more mercy. This man cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. No mercy to have. And there's no mercy in hell. Hell is a merciless place. Hell is a place where the love of God never goes down to reach the sinner. The hell is a place where you're never told that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You're never told down there he come to seek and to save that which is lost. Because the door of mercy that's open today closes on a sinner when they die in their sins. I hope you're not that sinner. I hope there's nobody around that will so tamper with their eternal destiny that they will not consider seriously the issues involved of being in eternity with Christ in heaven forever or in hell where there's misery. Some people foolishly say, well, if I go to hell, a lot of people go and they'll have a lot of company. I don't believe you'll have any company in hell. Hell is a lonely place, a place of remorse, a place of torment, a place of regrets, a place of it's hell, a terrible place. But sinners seem to want to go there, so they go on in their sins, and all the time, totally ignoring, trampling underfoot, as it were, the cross of Christ, instead of coming to the Savior. So one rich man, young fellow, proper time to be saved, had a good moral life, had kept the commandments and all that, was rich, had a lot of money, but he loved his money more than he loved salvation. He wanted his money and not his salvation, and seemingly he never got the salvation. Another man, maybe a little bit older, had lots of goods. All he talked about was himself. I have many years to live. I've got much goods laid up for many years. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to retire. I'm going to live in ease. God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and you're going out into eternity. And we read about a man that did die and went out into eternity, a rich man, lost, crying for mercy, but there was no mercy there. I hope you're not that person. I hope you never live to see the flames of hell. But I know this, and I'm telling people that more all the time, telling them kindly, that if they don't trust Christ as their Savior, there is no other place to go when you leave this scene. You're going to hell, as plainly as that. If you trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to heaven. I like what John MacArthur said on the tape. There's nothing more loving than telling people the truth. You don't love people if they're living in their sins and they're going to a lost eternity. If you love them, you're going to tell them the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, but sometimes it's good to get hurt because it wakes you up. Naaman the leper went to the prophet, and he thought for sure he had leprosy. He thought for sure the prophet would come out and do something spectacular and lay his hands on him, and suddenly he'd be healed of that leprosy. The prophet said, just go down in the old dirty waters and dip 7 times in the water, you'll be clean. He went away mad. But his servant said, why don't you do what he said? And he did what he said. And instead of being mad, he was glad because his leprosy was gone. So sometimes it's good to get people mad. You have to get them mad before they can get them glad. I remember one fellow, we had meetings one time in a place, and one fellow prayed and said, Lord, turn this place upside down so it'll be right side up. And sometimes people have to get turned upside down to get right side up, because people are upside down to begin with. So I trust tonight, if you're here, if you want to go to hell, if that's your choice, it's easy to go there. All you have to do, according to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, is neglect. You don't have to reject. Neglect so great a salvation. How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If you want to go to heaven, it's as simple as that. You accept the Savior of sinners. Come to the cross as a poor, helpless, guilty sinner, undeserving. Put your trust 100% in the Savior that loved you and died for you. The moment you do that, you go to heaven. May the Lord help you tonight, if you're here and not saved, to trust Him and be saved. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thank Thee for Thy greatness and Thy glory and Thy mercy, Thy grace in sending the Savior into the world, so that Thou wouldest have delight in saving people instead of seeing them go into hell. And we ever thank Thee for that Savior who so willingly bare our guilt and our sin on Calvary's cross, that it might be removed from us when we come to Him in our helplessness and trust Him. And we ever pray for people that have been visited this day, and any in our company that may have yet never trusted Him, that tonight they make that decision in their hearts to trust the Lord Jesus with all their heart and be saved.